This is Should We Just Watch It Real Quick, the only podcast that stars a husband and wife who are deeply in love with each other and didn't just have an argument before I hit record. We didn't really have an argument. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 112 years of psychodrama school to be called Mr. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Garden. It's Kelly. Big whoop. Want to fight about it? Here she is.
Burp. I'm doing a burp.
We didn't really have a fight. We've got a thing that we have to go to this afternoon, and it both... I have this thing, and I'm pretty sure it's an autistic thing or a spectrum thing. Where, and as I get older, it gets worse and worse. If something's planned later in the day, I can't do anything else. I can't enjoy anything else. I can't, like, I just can't. It's why when we talk about what times we're going to record the podcast, I'll be like 8:30 a.m. and you'll be like 8:30. No, oh, you're
good timing. It's all right. A car just drove up, but the dogs are all sleepy, and then all of a sudden they just popped off. Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, I think it's just people. Like, you know, it's if something is scheduled for the middle of the day, it's either good because you can do stuff in the morning and you're not rushed, or it's either annoying because it's in the middle of the day and you can't get stuck into something, you know. But whatever. I mean, we've got to do what we've got to do.
I just think all social interactions are annoying. And
yeah, I don't want to see anyone.
I'm sort of at the point now that unless it's for a child, and that's what this is today, it's our nephew's 13th birthday. 13th?
Yep.
I'm not coming. I'm not coming. Well, I'm not doing it. If you're over the age of 18 and you have a birthday party, grow the fuck up.
Well, let me break it to you, mate. No one wants you and no there one, either.
Everyone wants me there because I'm constantly being fucking invited to shit.
Here we go. Here he goes. Here he is.
No, what's even worse is that people expect me to facilitate social interactions when I don't enjoy them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, people stopped inviting me to stuff years ago because I just didn't go to anything.
Yeah, and that's also 'cause why people... we're married.
It's also because people schedule stuff on the school night and I don't live near them or whatever.
Yeah. Listen, here are the rules when it comes to social stuff, especially if your friends are on the spectrum in any shape or form. Nothing in the middle of the day. Nothing after 10 p.m. And let's say people over 35. I think these rules apply as well. Nothing on a Sunday at all. Stop organizing things on a Sunday. No one wants to come. Everyone just wants to sit in their house and dread going back to work tomorrow. I know there's a few weird outgoing people who think it's a fun way to spend the Sunday. You want to get the most out of your weekend. The vast majority of us just want to stay at home and be miserable until we have to go to work the next day. So stop organizing things on Sundays. Stop organizing things during the week. Right, so the window is essentially Friday night, but then Friday night I don't want to do because I'm so fucking exhausted.
I wonder if we both had jobs that we liked, though. I wonder if we both had jobs that we liked that when and we both were like big drinkers and we lived in the city.
Drinking is why people want to go out. I think if you banned alcohol, you would see people going out a lot less.
Well, they'd be home secretly drinking alcohol.
Like if it didn't exist, I think people would socialize less or in different ways.
I feel like if we lived like, you know, a 2-minute walk to a main street which had bars and stuff and we both drank and we both liked our jobs, I feel like drinking, a house that doesn't drink, we don't do a lot because there's so much that's revolved around a drink, like just like popping over for a cup of tea or a coffee. We can't do that after work because it's, you know, it's dinner time and stuff. It's more drinky time. I don't know.
I think it's just living in Australia and no one has any imagination when it comes to doing anything outside of drinking. Everything's just revolves around, like, should we go to the pub? Do you want to come around for a wine? Should we have a drink? Should we do this? It's either brunch or getting off your face. That's the two things that people will invite you to. Yeah. Brunch I'm down with, but then most of the people I'm friends with are not down with that.
So unless it makes it's a bottomless it pretty, brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes alcohol it, really just dictates a lot of stuff.
I mean, some people...
I know, because I'm not a big drinker anymore.
Some people would say that, you know, maybe being an alcoholic from the age of 16 to 39, maybe you've gathered some friends along that time who are big drinkers. And, you know, so like, you know, yeah. There's a Callie's patent a yawn into the microphone 5 minutes into the every episode.
Oh, brother. I just said before that I'm not a big drinker. I love drinking, but I do it alone, which is the worst kind of drinking. Like I would rather – my ideal, like if I finish work, the thing that I want to do the most is sit outside, smoke cigarettes and drink and listen to a podcast or listen to a podcast while playing like Candy Crush or something.
Yeah.
Or Zen Masters. That's the game for me. You know what I mean? Like, I just, if there was nothing I was allowed to do, like, if I just, yeah, it's drinking and smoking, you know, and if you were a drinker and a smoker, I would happily invite you into that world as well.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's something about it where it's just I feel so fucking chill.
Yeah.
When I'm doing it. But it's the worst thing for me. Like, and also, I know, like, when I haven't had a drink for a few weeks now, and I notice that when I go to bed at night, I actually feel better going to bed. Like, I'm not – like, I used to wake up in the middle of the night and be – and, like, sweating and have to go to – like, there's something about drinking now in your 40s where you wake up in the middle of the night feeling really terrible and stuff. Mm. And also weight, you know, keeping my weight – like still trying to lose weight or at least keep it plateauing and not gaining is really important for not drinking. But there's a guilt. There's a guilt that comes with drinking that I can't escape. And I haven't had that for the last few weeks because I haven't been drinking. You know what I mean? Like it's just, I don't know. And even just being sitting here with you, even if me and you were just watching Friends, I was having a glass of wine after work or whatever, there's something, even though you don't make me feel this way, I do feel guilty. I don't like drinking around you. Because I think that if I express myself too much or if I'm too loud or whatever, that you're, I've got goggles on and I think that you're like, you can tell like, oh, she's a bit, mum's fucking half cut. You know, and I think maybe there's something about that might not be nice for someone who is sober. So I've got to really make sure that I only drink. If I'm going to drink, I got to drink in public. Because then I won't drink a lot at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
But I miss smoking, and smoking and drinking together is the fucking best.
Yeah.
If you had no consequences, if you could drink with no consequence or smoke with no consequence or eat junk food with no consequence, which one would you choose?
Oh.
I mean, it's a trifecta, isn't it? It's the fat boys trifecta, you know. It's the John Candy Express.
Mr. Farley, your table is ready.
Mr. Belushi, paging Mr. Belushi.
Would a Mr. Belushi move his car, his Datsun Y20?
Anyway.
So when you say no consequences, I mean you can't get cancer, you can't die
cancer.
Oh, smoking.
Out of
smoking.
Over alcohol and McDonald's.
I don't miss alcohol.
Over McDonald's.
I actually don't miss alcohol at all. That's not true. There are times where I'm like, it'd be great to have a pint now. But
no, I'm not so much alcohol. I'm like junk food. Like you could eat McDonald's.
But I have to give up the other two.
Yeah, never touch the other two. But drink, like eat McDonald's, KFC, eat whatever you want and no consequence.
But, hang on. Is this only fast food restaurants? I can't eat food at all, are you saying?
No, no, I'm saying like junk food. Like I'm like the collar's off. Like you and you can eat whatever you want.
Classified as junk food.
Whatever you want. You can have the diet of your dreams.
Yeah, but what am I giving up? Like, does that mean I can't eat potato chips, for example?
No, listen to the words I'm saying. What I'm saying is you can eat whatever you want.
No, but I want to choose smoking. But you're saying in this scenario that if I choose smoking, I can't have
junk food. No, you can still eat junk food, but it has the same consequences that it has now.
Smoking.
You know what I mean?
Smoking.
Like you could eat McDonald's every day and your cholesterol doesn't get higher, blood pressure, you don't put on weight.
Lock in my answer, please.
Smoking.
Smoking.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Mine's smoking too. I fucking love smoking and I miss it. I fucking love smoking and I miss it so much.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking wild?
Yeah. David Bowie said the hardest thing he ever gave up was smoking.
And did heroin.
This is a man who did every drug under the sun.
Well, they said it's more addictive than heroin. We talked about going to Japan because...
They say it's more addictive than heroin smoking.
We talked about this morning about going to Japan for a holiday next year. And we're sort of, you know, talking about...
Oh, my God. Have you been to Japan? You haven't been to Japan? You have to go.
We are that couple.
We are that couple, but also we're correct because Japan... Yes.
It rocks.
It rules.
It rocks. And we got to keep going until Australians turn it into Bali.
Australians get bored of Japan and they're changing tourism laws next year to make it more difficult for people. Like there's going to be increased tax for tourists and stuff, which I'm happy to pay. I don't give a shit. But bogans will be like, and when I say increase that, it's like 10%. It's nothing. Yeah. Like,
anyway,
and I'm happy to pay that extra for their economy and blah, blah, blah. But most Australians won't. Most Australians, the Australians who are flying Jetstar to fucking Osaka.
I hate Jetstar so much.
They're going to be like, fuck that shit. Anyway, I'll just go to fucking Bali.
Anyway, let me get my point out before we fucking have to move on, all right? Ugh. So, I know, it's like you have to fucking keep talking and now what I was going to say has got no weight to it because you interrupted. Anyway, what I was saying is we're talking about going to Japan and we both said because we have to organize it around IVF stuff. So, like, do we do it before this transfer or do we wait for this? Like, all that sort of stuff. And I said, well, when we go, when we go to Japan, we smoke. And I think that's – if that's something I can do – every time we go to Japan, I smoke when I'm in Japan, and then when I'm not in Japan, I don't smoke. I actually kind of think that's pretty cool. That's something I want to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was even talking to a friend of mine, my cousin, who's a nurse, you know, who knows better and stuff, and she was always kind of a bit of a smoker, doesn't smoke anymore, and then went to, I think, Thailand or Bali, and it was just, you know, $2 for a package of cigarettes, and she goes, I'm a nurse, I don't know how bad it is, but fuck me. I enjoyed myself for 2 weeks smoking.
Mm.
And she goes, and I come back here and I'm not smoking. And I was like, maybe that's the ticket. Because I'm never going to be okay. I'm never going to be not wanting to smoke. So I just feel like just save it up for those 2-3 weeks that you go overseas where they're cheap. And then that's your kick. That's your thing. You got it. You know? I don't know, man. Do you know what I'm saying, dog?
Oh, I do know what you're saying. That's why in this hypothetical that you gave me, I didn't stop to think about it. Was like smoking. 100% smoking. If there were no consequences, I'd be smoking in my car. I'd smoke in the house. I'd be smoking while I had a shower in the morning.
Because I feel like I wouldn't need to eat.
Smoking on the toilet.
I feel like I wouldn't have to eat because me, it's like, smoking or eating, whatever I want, no consequence. And I'm like, yeah, but I feel like I wouldn't. When I'm smoking, I don't feel like I crave the junk.
No, it's a diuretic.
Yeah, I just don't crave McDonald's as much because I go, I'll just have a cigarette instead.
Appetite suppressant. It doesn't, yeah.
Yeah. But food is a close second. Like, imagine that. Imagine just McDonald's, KFC, like whatever the fuck you wanted and you would never put on weight. Just never. It would be like 1,200 regardless. It's 1,200 calories getting consumed every day.
Yeah, but like there's only so much junk food you can eat before you're like, what? Like even even with my food issues that I have now, you know, like once I've eaten McDonald's, an hour later, I'm like, I shouldn't have eaten McDonald's. I don't think there's ever been a time with a cigarette where I've been like, you know, and maybe there has been where I've been super stressed and I've smoked like fucking 8 in a row or something stupid like that. Mm. And then you start getting those heart palpitations where you're like, oh, I've smoked too much. But yeah, if there was no consequences, yeah, I'd smoke.
It's the best. We should talk about television.
There you go, me yawning.
Oh, hello. Here he is. Fuck you. I don't know if I watched anything new this week.
No, we watched a lot of Ted Lasso and Friends. Last season of Friends. Oh, boy.
It's terrible.
Do these people become
awful?
Awful. I think it's probably because their personalities get more and more heightened. You're like a frog in boiling water. You don't notice how insufferable these people are becoming until...
Insufferable.
Rachel and Rossa, and now I'm starting to see where I got... Because when we were talking about this a few weeks ago, where I was like, I watched it 6 or 7 years ago all the way through, and I had this theory that Rachel was the bad guy of Friends.
Yeah.
And I still don't think that's the case. It's Ross. It's 1,000 times Ross. But Rachel, in the last couple of seasons, pretty bad. And all the stuff with Joey, oh, my God. Mm. Like, it just... I can't believe we talk about Friends every week like they're our friends. The shit that goes on between... So most of season 8 is about how Joey has a crush on Rachel and Rachel's just like, no, yeah, I don't like him. You know what I mean? And shuts him down. So poor Joey's heartbroken. And then he gets over it. And it feels like, I mean, it's never said on the show, but it feels like once she knows that, she uses it. I know, because they're living together anyway, and that's how he gets the crush on her, right? But then she goes off and lives with Ross, which was a terrible idea. Should never have happened in the first place. Of course it ends in disaster. She leaves Ross's place, goes straight back to Joey's, and then she gets a crush. I think I'm starting to get a crush on Joey and starts playing with his fucking emotions again, tells him they all go on this trip to Barbados for Ross is doing some fucking dinosaur thing. Rachel tells Joey. Joey says no because he's the only good person, or him and Chandler are the only good people in this friendship group. Then he sees Ross kissing Joey's ex-girlfriend, the
Charlie
hot black dinosaur doctor. What's her name?
Charlie.
So not only that, not only has Joey done the right thing, Ross is within minutes of Joey and Charlie breaking up, Ross is fucking her. Or not, well, finger banging her in the fucking lobby of the hotel. Sees that, Joey goes, fuck it, I'm going to get together with Rachel. And because Ross is such a manic douchebag, they can't even bring themselves to like begin a relationship because they're so worried about what his reaction's going to be.
His reaction is terrible.
And his reaction is terrible. Even though he kind of tries to camouflage it as being fine, he's even more over the top. You'd prefer him to be angry than what happens with this shit where he like gets drained, invites everybody over for a dinner party and then gets completely wasted and acts like an absolute fucking...
God, he's the
cock snap.
He really is the worst.
Like, he might be the worst character in any TV show ever.
Yeah, he's just so fucking selfish. You know what I mean?
Sopranos, Dexter. I'd rather be friends with Dexter than I would be with Ross.
He's so selfish. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's just so selfish.
He's the worst. And then poor Joey, and we all kind of know what happens at the end of Friends, right? Like Ross and Rachel obviously get together. Chandler and Monica are... But that's the other thing as well that I've noticed, Bub, is that Chandler and Monica, I always remembered them as this like stable, secure couple who are super happy, but they're not really. And I know I talked about last week and the week before, there's just this constant like Monica sort of insinuating that Chandler's a fuckhead and like a shitty husband. And
but I think he is a bit of a is an idiot because.
Well, how?
But this didn't come through their marriage. There's been multiple times where Chandler puts his foot in it, like he says the wrong thing at the wrong time.
So what?
Yeah, but that's what's.
But people are always keeping secrets. This is part of the farce game of Friends, where people are keeping secrets. And then Chandler will just say what's happening and then everyone gets angry at Chandler rather than the people who were keeping secrets in the first place.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, maybe. But I think Monica and Chandler have a good marriage, like because there's a good yin and yang that complement each other, you know? But
yeah, I suppose my disappointment with – it's more with Monica. I don't like Chandler constantly being sort of – portrayed in this show as
you're
like,
not Chandler,
huh?
You're not Chandler.
No, but I like Chandler because I think he's a good guy.
And he's dead.
But in the show, he's a good guy. Like,
yeah, he is a good guy.
He overcome. Like, yes, he has fears and stuff. That's fine. That's human. He
he's
had
really
fears.
Good.
He had fears of commitment. He overcomes that. He realizes that it's stupid because he loves Monica and wants to be with her.
Yeah.
He had fears about being a parent because his parents were shit parents.
Yeah.
But he gets around that and overcomes it and goes all in to the point where he's happy to adopt a kid with Monica.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people wouldn't be.
He's the best one.
Yeah, right.
He's like, I mean, Joey's great.
He supported Joey for the first 5-6 years of the show.
Yeah, Chandler's great.
Like basically, remember where they have an argument and then they start tallying up how much money Joey owes Chandler and it ends up being like $18,000 or something like that? Yeah.
Aww.
You know, like Chandler is a good guy. He puts up with Ross's shit all the time and he's best friend. He doesn't like sport. Every second episode, he's going to a Knicks game. He's going to a Jets game. He's going.
We love him.
Chandler's a good dude, man. I understand that he's uncomfortable with his dad transitioning and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think the dad transitions. I think the dad's just a drag queen.
But he's got boobs and everything.
Oh, did they say? I can't remember if they said that it was a transitional thing. I thought it was just that he was a drag queen. Because I referred to him as the early noughties reference, which is no longer acceptable, a cross-dresser. And then the whole joke about it was that Kathleen Turner's playing his dad.
Yeah, but I just okay.
Oh, but no, I don't know. No, I'm not squashing it.
No, you might be right. You might be right. But yeah, Chandler and Joey are like, to me, the best people in that crew. Monica and Phoebe I go up and down with all the time.
Yeah, Phoebe sometimes puts her fucking foot in it where you're just like, ah, mate.
Well, like, we just went through the episode where her and Mike decide that they're going to donate the money that they would have spent on a wedding to a child charity, to an orphanage essentially.
Mm.
And then they take the money back and then they go back and give it again. And then the child charity gives them the money. It's just don't worry about it. Go away. You're
because they couldn't decide if they wanted to give the money to
such
charity
fucking,
or have.
Like, you're such upper middle class bourgeois fuckwits. Don't worry about it. Go and have you. Because she gives a speech at an orphanage, right? By the way, if you haven't watched Friends, Phoebe was a street kid. And she's like, I want to have a wedding because I've never had anything. And we're meant to, that's meant to be a sympathetic discussion. Like, it's like, ah, oh, poor Phoebe. Like, nah, man.
Mm.
You just completely fucking over the people where you came from. You know, if I was going to give this a Marxist reading, which I will for a second, this is 1,000%. Capitalism or the ideologies of capitalism disguised in a cute little sitcom where it's like, don't worry about where you came from. You've got money now. Just trample all over those people and get what you want.
Well, yeah.
Mm.
Look, I don't know.
Anyway, it's still a lot of fun. Friends, 4.5 grumps.
Did you not watch anything else?
We watched more of Ted Lasso. I went and saw Tron: Ares, if you want me to tell you about my experience with that. It was shit. Tron: Ares is a really good example of kind of everything that's wrong with cinema. And listen, there's a lot of good there's a lot of good cinema out there. There's so many good films out at the moment that I want to go and see, and it's my own fault for going and seeing Tron Ares. I should have gone and seen One Battle After Another, or If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, or you know, the actual films I want to see. But I didn't. I went and saw Tron Ares. But I think it was an interesting thing to go and do, because now I can talk about it like this on the podcast. This film was so devoid of soul. And I know if you were a proper film critic or a movie head or whatever, you'd be like, well, duh, man, it's the third Tron film. But, like, it's more than that, because the first Tron film has, like, its 80-ness and Jeff Bridges. You know, even though it's just like a, and it's a little kid's film. It's a cool little kid's film about the perils of big business trying to take over fun, essentially. Trying to take something fun and turn it against itself to take over the world, and Jeff Bridges has to stop that from happening. And it's super cool, and the way it looks is amazing, and that's why it's lasted the test of time, right? That's why people still talk about Tron and love it to this day, because it was cool and unusual and different. And that's the other thing as well, is that Tron was its own thing. It's not a remake. It's not based on any other IP. It's not even based on a book or anything. It was just whole cloth made up. And I'm part of the problem, because I go and watch these films. But this is a sequel in a trilogy that's been happening over 45 years that I don't know how many people are going and watching this. There were a few people in the cinema when I went and saw it. It was probably half full. But it's just nothing, to the point where so in the second film in the Tron series, Jeff Bridges' son goes into the mainframe to try and get Jeff Bridges out of it, because he's stuck in there. So we still have familiar ties and all that sort of thing. In this film, Jeff Bridges' corporation that his son was running is being taken over by a group of wunderkinds. Like, it's like 5 or 6 30-year-old, like, amazing super genius hackers run this business. They've got no relationship to Jeff Bridges' family at all, besides the fact that they thought he was pretty neat.
Oh, brother.
But then, so, like, I'm like, so why do I even care? Like, I'm already on the back foot of, like, okay, so I am someone who likes Tron. I am someone who likes the lore of this world. Why the fuck do I give a fuck about these people? We don't even get a scene where we see Jeff Bridges' son, like, hand over the keys to these people, or a phone call from him to them going, hey, man, remember, like, this is what our business is all about. You know, it's in good hands. I trust you guys. Nothing. We don't get any of that, right? It's just, as soon as the film starts, it's like, this corporation's run by these people. And that's the other thing about this, Tron, is this story is essentially the story of two different corporations, two different sets of billionaires competing over a real-life AI, or an AI that comes to life, to see who controls the world. Now, you think that if that's kind of the logline of the film, that it's a pretty prescient time for that film to drop, but it doesn't really attack that idea at all. Whatsoever. It's kind of dropped at the beginning of the film. Then we get, like, a very beige action sci-fi film. And then the kind of conclusion is, all we need is for AI to be put in the hands of the right billionaires and anything can happen. Anything's achievable. Which, judging by the people I was watching this film with, it felt like it went down like a lead balloon. So not only is it a pretty fucking poorly made film, It looks beautiful. They spent $180 million on this film. So it looks amazing from a technical aspect. Jared Leto plays a cyborg fine. Like, he's not bad in it.
He's very good. In the House of Gucci, he's very good.
Yeah. I thought I thought his performance, I know a lot of people teased him for it being over the top and blah, blah, blah. I thought his performance in that film was riveting. I couldn't keep my eyes off him in that film.
I think he's very good.
Yeah, like, that and was even his, like, again, those Zack Snyder Justice League films fucking sucked, but I could see what he was doing with his Joker.
Mm.
And if he'd been given, he was only given like 6 minutes of screen time. Like, if he was given a bit more, if they'd made just a Batman film with his Joker, I think we could have seen something pretty interesting. Mm. But anyway, and not made by Zack Snyder because he fucking sucks. It was just, you know what, Bob? It was just such a nothing. It was such an empty experience. Mm. I went to a big Cinemaplex, got a gold class ticket. Kind of bitch about gold class for 2 seconds as well.
Sure.
Completely overrated. Yeah. I think it's a completely overrated experience. I ended up paying $55 to sit around for half an hour. That's the other thing as well. They want you to go half an hour before the film. You go there. I had a coffee that was not great. Sat there for half an hour. Then went in the cinema, waited for another 20 minutes. So it's like 50 minutes of sitting around before I go and watch this big, empty, nothing of a film. That just made me walk away from the cinema feeling like I can understand why, and I don't think this is necessarily happening, but if people think about going to the cinema and they go, I can't be fucked because they're having experiences like this,
mm.
I completely understand that. I completely, as much as I love going to the cinema and watching films, you know, in a theater, if you're spending a whole afternoon, especially if you've got kids and stuff, and that's the kind of experience you're having, it's no wonder that people aren't putting themselves out there to do that.
It's just very expensive for not a lot of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but also the film's not great. That's the thing. You could kind of like, you know, when I went and saw Superman, I just went and saw it at a normal theater, and because I'm a member of Village, it was like $10, and it was the best.
Yeah, I think
it was the best, yeah. You know, because the film was great.
And the seats are good now. Like, they made all the seats big and most places recline anyway, and I don't need gold class now.
No.
I can fall asleep now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went and saw the last Captain America film with my mate Quang. Shout out to Quang if you're listening. And this was the one and only time I fell asleep in a cinema.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
In gold class, because I'd put the seat back. It was like,
You're old.
Anyway, Tron Ares, one grump.
Oh, God.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'll give it 1.5, and the extra half is for the set design and the design of the film. And the Nine Inch Nails soundtrack. But but besides that, fuck, there's not much to hang your hat on here.
All right. All right, well, I'll try and watch something proper next week. I'll try and watch something next week other than – I've just been rewatching stuff. Like, I haven't –
You've been watching Sex and the City again.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know.
Well, time for me to do go potty, so.
Well, you know what we say, when it's time to potty, when it's time – not for you to potty. When it's time for Callie to potty, it's time to end the potty. Thank you so much for listening, guys. As I said last week, we've just crossed past 3,000 downloads for a podcast that is literally made in our lounge room whenever we sort of feel like it, that does no advertising. The fact that we get 150 to 200 people coming along listening to each episode is
very good.
Yeah, probably shouldn't break down our figures that minutely, but it means a lot to us. It's really, really heartwarming. So thank you so much. We'll be back next week with another episode.
See you next week. All right, I love you.